on case number, we're out of executive session, and it's 12:53. We're on case number 19128, and Dr. Keys with us. Dr. Keys, do you have counsel with you?
I do not.
Okay. And is there a complaint here?
I am.
Okay. So, Dr., I'm going to have Ms. Anthony go ahead and give us a quick review, and then chat with her. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this is case number 19-128. On July 15, 2019, State of Arizona Naturopathic Physicians Medical Board received a complaint by patient BP. According to BP, respondent performed an invasive liposuction procedure on him, which left scarring and pain and produced, and the procedure itself was outside of his scope of practice as a naturopathic physician. BP alleges he now needs corrective surgery to repair the damages. On June 25, 2019, respondent performed liposuction, also known as liposculpture procedure, on BP. The medical records contain the patient intake form. BP alleges and respondent acknowledges a consent to treat form was not signed. Recent lab results from 6-7-2019 and 1-3-2019 are available in the chart. According to the respondent, just prior to beginning the procedure, he realized the consent form had not been signed and that at that point, quote, was forced to make a judgment call and choose to proceed with the procedure, end quote. It is unknown why the patient was not asked to sign the form at that time. According to the chart notes, upon completion of the procedure, BT reported little to no discomfort. Although BT was informed he would be receiving a compression garment, one was never provided, and he was left to use only ACE wraps for compression. 2 days post-procedure, BT presented for a follow-up. According to the chart, BT had discontinued the use of the hydrocodone for pain, reporting that he was sore but in not any significant pain. Respondent noted bruising in several areas and no signs of infection around the incision. According to respondent, he left for vacation shortly after the follow-up appointment. He stated he did receive a message to contact BT, but that his phone had sustained water damage and he was left without communication. He returned home on July 8th, but did not communicate with the patient until July 10th. After receiving BT's email, respondent stated he attempted to get BT to come into the office for a follow-up visit so he could address his concerns, but that he refused.
Dr. Keys, you can go ahead and get started and then answer some questions.
Excuse me?
I'll go ahead and get started and we can ask you some questions over there. Honestly. Can you go ahead through that interaction you had with BT?
Sure. And will we be referring to him as BT in this proceeding?
Yes.
Okay. First, I'd like to say thank you for this opportunity to address the board. I am, regarding BT, BT came to me as a patient from another med spa, of which I am a private contractor too. He had received a consultation prior to coming to my office, along with a number of photographs which were taken, which were sent to me in order to have a telephone conference with the owner of the med spa as to where we would proceed with his case. We had set up an appointment, that was done on June 10th. We originally set up an appointment to be done on the 19th of June at 8 a.m. Unfortunately, on that day, I was forced to go to the emergency room. I had kidney stones and a food infection, and I immediately contacted Mr. Tucker via text message, which I have proof of and should be in the file there, letting him know that we were going to have to cancel his procedure at that time and reschedule it. Those messages are in fact time stamped, and I believe it was about 5:20 a.m. when I made that text message to him. and also went on to message Mr. Pearson, the owner of the meth bar, to let him know to please contact DP and let him know that I would not be able to perform this procedure at 8 o'clock, and that I would let them know as soon as I was discharged as to what my status was, as soon as we could get him rescheduled. Again, I was discharged and later made a second appointment for him. That was a Wednesday. That Friday, that would have been the 21st at 1 o'clock. At 12:30 that day, I was informed that BT had canceled the appointment, stating that he had some family issue for whatever reason. We agreed to reschedule him at the next earliest appointment, realizing that I was going on vacation the following week. I would never do a procedure without having sufficient time to do a follow-up. I let the patient know the date that I would be able to make that, and that appointment was then made for June 25th at 1 o'clock. On that date, I was informed by Mr. Pearson that BT had in fact filled out all of his paperwork, including his consent forms, and that they were signed. So I waited for that information to come to me. In the meantime, as I was preparing for the case, which I was doing when he entered, he did state that I was not there, which was not true. I was actually in the office preparing the commercial solution for the procedure. I came out, let him know that I was doing that. I did perform an exam, explained to him the procedure in detail. We waited approximately 45 minutes for Mr. Pearson to come with the paperwork. While in the meantime, I proceeded with the procedure, which was to have him medicate, which included the hydrocodone, he had three medications. So he had hydrocodone on board, he had an anxiolytic, and an antiemetic. And I can, for the record, state what that was. So he had hydrocodone, alprazolam, 0.5 milligrams, and Zofran, 8 milligrams. So we decided to just go ahead and get him medicated for the procedure so that we could proceed. When Mr. Schuyler Pearson appeared, he then informed me that he had looked at the paperwork and, in fact, the consent form had not been signed. At that point, I had to make a judgment call as to whether or not to proceed with the procedure or take him off the table, given the fact that we had canceled him on, well, he had had two previous appointments. We had to cancel one because of my health. He canceled one other time. He was quite upset about that. I decided to go ahead with the procedure and not take him off the table since he had been medicated. I did not have him signed it at that time because he already had a narcotic on board. He was not sedated. I did not do any general sedation. I did not do twilight sedation. The procedure is strictly a messing procedure. It's just followed up with those three medications. During the procedure, he did have, it was noted, and in the exam, it was noted that he had an abdominal scar in the left lower quadrant. We had discussed the fact that we were aware that he had had a previous surgery because he had discussed that with us at his original consultation with Mr. Pearson. It is customary to undermine that scar so that there's an evening of the body tissue once the fat is removed. In order to accomplish that, he was uncomfortable, so I was forced to administer a greater amount of somatic solution around that area. We discussed that with him. He was aware of that. It ended up making the procedure a little bit longer, but I, in fact, took the time that he needed to gently undermine that tissue. He did have some complaints. At no time did he scream out, and I want to go ahead and stress that again. At no time did he ever scream out during the procedure. He was quite comfortable for the most part. At one point during the procedure, I offered to add an additional area to the procedure because he didn't want to have to pay for his back, his lower back, but in order for it to look more uniform, I discussed with him the fact that I was willing to go ahead and treat that area at no charge. He verbally consented to that. We went ahead and we treated that area. When he was finished, as customary, we wrapped him. I did not, the compression garments at the time weren't going to be appropriate for him that I had on hand, so I wrapped him in an ACE wrap, which is more than customary for a liposuction procedure. It's often done for the first 3 days as the solution is left to leak out of the small 2-3 millimeter incision. But I did place a call to have the garment ordered. I had a follow-up with him 2 days later. I spoke with him, I texted with him in the evening, I texted with him the next day, and he reported to me that he was doing well, that he did not need to have any pain medication. He came in that following Thursday, which was, it was on the 27th, he came back to my office. He did have some slight bruising, which is normal for the procedure. He had no signs of infection, no fever. He was ambulating fine. He said he was very happy with the procedure, and I went off on my vacation. While on vacation, my phone fell in the water. It was supposed to be a waterproof phone. Turns out it wasn't. There was nowhere near a place where I could get a new phone, so I was without phone service during that time. So unbeknownst to me, he never received the compression garment. When I came back, it took me 2 days to replace the phone. Once I received the phone and I received the emails, I began my correspondence with BT. He refused to come in for any follow-up, and along the way, I received a number of threatening emails, several of which pretty much are tantamount to extortion. He was asking for money, to which I just replied that we would not do that. He charged back the proceeding, the total cost of the proceeding, to his credit card. So we weren't even paying for the procedure. He continued to escalate his what I felt were harassing emails regarding payment to him for the procedure, threatening to make my life bring misery to my life, and so forth. I asked that he come in for a follow-up, that we discuss it, be reasonable. I did get no response to that other than more escalation of his anger. Well, he then threatened me when he asked to have his chart. I explained to him he would have to come in for his chart and pay in cash, and he had charged back his original procedure. He refused to do that for a certain period of time. He threatened the lawsuit, a number of other things, and then he finally did come in and peacefully he was given his chart, including everything, which is what you guys have in your hand right now.
When you did the procedure, how long after that did you leave town? Were you in town for 2 or 3 days?
I was in town for a few days. Yeah. I was in town for a few days, and that's when I did his follow up. And then I left you on the third day.
Was there a contact number for him to call you out of town?
Yeah, so he was supposed to be able to contact Mr. Pearson. And I believe that he did reach out to him. And I believe that Mr. Pearson tried to reach out to me, but I had no phone conversation. The issue with compression is not, he didn't have a garment, but he did have compression. The ACE wrap would have survived as compression until I got back.
Do you do pre-surgical consults? So, for example, do you say, you know, Pierce Arnold, St. John Ward?
Typically, and that was actually, the consultation was done by Mr. Tyler Pearson in his office. He discussed with me what the information he had received. He had faxed me over, he sent me photographs, which are in the chart. He faxed me over the information that that Mr. Pearson had filled out, including the first page of the form where he filled out. He actually did initial the bottom of that. He did not sign, but he had initialed where he agreed to payment and understood that all sales were final, including deposits. So he was aware of the procedure and what we would be doing. given the fact that we have had a phone consultation, he was aware of the fact that when he came in, he would get an exam from me and that I would let him know whether or not we could proceed. The day of the procedure, his vital signs were stable and everything was to go. There was no reason not to proceed with her with the procedure.
And how about post-procedure? Do you give them, so for example, there are a lot of...
Yeah, we do. I personally have a complete file of pre and post information, which again, it was understood that all of this had been handed to him. He had not received it because Mr. Pearson dropped the ball. He did not get that. We did go over verbally with him everything that needed to be done pre and post. He was aware, and I discussed it again in the follow-up, what needed to be done post. It's proof there is for this particular procedure. It is a minor procedure. The issue was just for infection purposes for the patient not to submerge their body in water, for that matter. The concern of any of the bruising is literally just customarily part of the procedure. There was no excessive bruising noticed. And to this day, I have not seen any follow-up pictures or information from any doctors from an emergency room, any other doctors that were followed up. There were no other complaints. When I addressed him via email, there were no complaints at that time as to what was going on with his body or if he had any.
Does he have a medical background?
He's a med chat. Mm-hmm. But he's the owner.
He's the owner.
Mm-hmm. He's not a physician.
And so he does all the what is the nature of the
He does the preliminary screening, so he's an owner and I'm a subcontractor. So typically the patients will come to me afterward. And there was a timing issue. We couldn't get an official consultation or pre-screening with me before he could get in. Then I was in the emergency room, then he needed to get it done, so we agreed we would do it the day of the procedure. And that was done, and it's documented.
But he usually does all the consenting?
He typically does the consenting because it's his business. He has all of the forms and everything there for his consenting. And then that actually gets transferred to me.
And you vetted his consenting mechanisms and accept them?
I have, and this is literally the only time that this has happened.
You know, that there hasn't been a consent form signed.
Correct, but there hasn't been a consent form issued. And again, it would not have been the procedure had it not been for the fact that we had scheduled him two other times. One was a medical emergency on my part. One was he canceled, and I can't tell you why that was. And then we were at the third. He was, understandably, he was irritated that he had to be rescheduled twice, once for himself, once for my illness, and once for him, because he can cancel when I don't have to.
After consenting on other patients, after consenting has been done, do patients often or ever come to you and have questions beyond what they talked about with Mr. Pearson?
Always, and we always address that before. Before the patient is ever put on the table, I actually do a physical exam the day of procedure.
So they take their medication?
Before they take their medication.
That's
exactly what happened. So he came in, vital signs were taken, we discussed the procedure, I went over the notes that I had with him, and then we had him take the medication.
And after that is when you were told that there was your consent?
About an hour later, when he arrived, he said he had them, and he brought the papers, and they were fine. So I guess he had delegated this to someone else in his office and it just didn't get done.
Pearson. What are some of the common questions people have about either before or after they signed the consent form, but after they consented with Mr. Pearson?
They want to know recovery time usually. That's the biggest question. How long, when can they go back to work, what's the recovery time, and when do they come in for a follow-up?
So how long have you been doing this?
10 years.
And how long have you been working with Mr. Pearson?
Since, I want to say May.
This year?
So, yes, and again, I want to stress that I do not work with Mr. Pearson. I'm a private contractor to Mr. Pearson. He runs his own business. he advertises the procedure, he does the initial consultation, and then he gets it out to me.
I'm sorry, you've been practicing liposuction procedures for 10 years?
Correct.
What? I know the world of oncology. I don't know the world of minor surgery or major surgery or the plastic, so can you explain about the training, how you, if there's any, follow-up training you need to do, or if we have a certification that I don't know or anybody.
So there is no specific certification for liposuction. I actually trained initially in Europe, trained here with several doctors, and I have worked as a national trainer. I provide some documentation as far as that goes. I have trained plastic surgeons, dermatologists, emergency room doctors, nurse practitioners, PAs. Over the years, I've trained many of the doctors. I've served as a trainer for inspiring physicians, one of the companies that sell it. So typically what happens is, if a doctor wants to perform this procedure, the company that sells the device usually provides some training. Training is actually fairly minimal. In this country, you get a day. I actually spent a week training in Europe, came back and have trained many times since. I've been observed and worked in a plastic surgery office. I have 20 hours of observation under a plastic surgeon. That's pretty much
it. So, in order to train, are there any qualifications necessary?
You need to be a physician. You need to be a physician, a PA, a nurse practitioner. You need to be able to perform a minor surgical procedure. Now, I want to stress that this is a minor surgical procedure. We are more invasive when we remove lipomas, and that is certainly something that many naturopathic physicians who perform minor surgery procedures have done. This is a 2 to 3 millimeter procedure that requires a 2 to 3 millimeter incision. We use tumescent solution to do the numbing. This tumescent procedure has also been used for quite a long time by a number of naturopathic physicians in our community for the sake of adipose-derived stem cells. And so the procedure is the same. It's a couple of small incisions, small cannula, 2 millimeter cannula, into the adipose tissue. There is the tumescent solution is dispersed. The patient, we wait 20 minutes, and then the solution is extracted along with the fat.
Why is it more invasive or less invasive than the lipoma removal?
Lipoma removals require incisions to whatever size they might be, and you may have to go quite deep and require sutures. There's no suture in this procedure whatsoever. For the small fact, it's recommended that we don't do that. The tumescent solution itself is bacteriostatic, which for everyone means basically it helps to keep the growth of bacteria from growing. So we have to encourage the solution to drip out of those small incisions, which usually occurs over the first 24 hours. It helps just to keep the incision site clean.
So is it you, Mr. Peterson, either one of you, you guys take pictures before and after?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And we do, and I provided those. So Mr. Pearson took a set of before pictures to send to me so that I could help him with the consultation at the moment, decide what areas were going to need to be performed, what would be the best solution for the results that he wanted. And then every patient gets before and after pictures, which I did take that day, and I did provide those as well in the chart. And so it is mistaken that there are before and after pictures. I did receive a letter from BTU's attorney stating that those were before and after pictures, and they are absolutely not. They are before and before pictures, and they are both time-stamped, time and date-stamped.
Can I ask the physicians on board what types of other minor surgeries would be common for a naturopathic physician? I agree that National College of Naturopathic Medicine, rather than graduated, have a curriculum for minor surgery. Maybe I should address that to you. What all is covered in that curriculum?
We teach lacerations, we do biopsies, with the exception of anything that is suspicious as to be cancer. And lymphomas, which are non-malignant tumors, are commonly treated by naturopathic physicians, and that requires, as I said, an incision that can be anywhere from an inch to 4 or 5. I mean, I've had lymphomas that are as much as 6, 7 inches long. So there's no restriction as to the size of the lymphoma, just the comfortability of the practitioner, how comfortable they feel making that incision and suturing it. But again, there's no suturing in this procedure whatsoever. Incisions are literally 2 to 3 millimeters.
How many incisions are there?
And so depending on the case, typical standard of care is as many as you need to access the areas. In order to treat the areas properly, you need to actually, what we call cross-hatch, you need to come from different directions. But very commonly, for what we call an upper and lower abdomen, we're looking at a minimum of 4 incisions, maybe as many as 6, and then anything on the back might require 2 to 4. So we really need to have 2 angles to come to address each area.
Can you repeat what you said about the before and after pictures?
Yes. So initially, in the initial contact, Mr. Pearson normally takes photographs to send to me to help him with the consultation as to what areas to recommend to the patient definitively. If I'm not on the premises, he'll send me photographs. I've seen those photographs. But from my procedure, every patient gets before and after photos. I have no after photos because BT refused to come back for follow-up.
You mean you're unable to evaluate anything afterwards?
He came back for an initial follow-up 2 days later. That's not enough. Typically, I normally see a patient anywhere within the first 72 hours. I have phone contact with them within the first 72 hours just to have eyes on the patient. And then 1 week from their procedure. And then depending on what we see, 2 to 3 weeks after that, and at the 6-week mark, and then we go from there. And I usually follow them out for at least 6 months. Normally at the 6-week mark is when we take photographs. We wouldn't have much of anything to show because of the inflammation due to the procedure in the first week.
So what's the problem with not having after photos?
Well, there's no problem with not having the photos per se, but for the patient's sake, it's a problem with not having follow-up. I have no idea how the patient done. And that does happen from time to time with patients. They just choose not to come back. I can't force them to come back. But we do schedule them, we do encourage them to come back for a follow-up procedure. They come up for a follow-up visit, and if there's anything that we need to address at that time, we do. Either the massage or the touch-up treatments or whatever, anything that we see, we would follow up with at that time.
But the complainant was offered to come back.
Was offered to come back and refused several times.
Is from your perspective and what you know, is what the complainant is saying is the results, does that have anything to do with your procedure?
I wouldn't know. The patient never came back.
Is it a potential side effect or end result?
Can you be specific about what?
We'll probably have to wait for the complainant to talk.
Okay.
I have one last question. Did you, when he left the after the procedure, do you usually have compressing garments now to give the patient to apply before bringing in?
No, we pay for it, and we normally get it at the day of the procedure. I realized the garment that we had, because of his particular torso, wasn't going to work for him. I had a compression garment, and I thought that's just not going to work for him. Many of the practitioners that do this procedure often don't put a patient in the garment initially. It depends on what camp you trained in, but the idea is to wait for the swelling to go down a little bit and to wait for the solution to come out, because it's kind of messy. We do put absorbent pads on the patient underneath, and then we go ahead and we bind them. But you do need to have some form of compression to help reduce the level of swelling. And he, in fact, did have that. and in fact, the day that we returned, he had it. It wasn't quite bonded properly, but I rewrapped him in the office.
Okay. And I didn't see it in the problem here. Did he have actual written discharge instructions?
He did not have a written instruction on that day. I thought that that was all included, and he did not have that either.
Okay.
He had verbal instructions, and I did follow up, as I said, with text messaging, and he responded to the text messages as well.
Okay.
Just one more. Do you know if he ever signed any consent form?
If he ever did? No, absolutely not. And again, I want to reiterate, at the time, once he had a narcotic medication on board, he had received Vicodin, it would have been illegal for him to sign it because he was impaired. So we do not take money, nor do we have patients sign consent forms once the medication goes in their mouth.
All right, Dr. Please, you can go ahead and grab a seat. We're going to ask about the complaint. DT. We've read what you submitted. Can you go ahead and give us a brief verbal overview of your submitted materials?
Yes. There's a lot of response to what most of what you said. First, the procedure itself, according to the AMA and the Board of Cosmetic Surgeons, this surgery is major surgery. It's not minor at all. It's supposed to be carried out by a trained cosmetic surgeon, which is what I was told Dr. Ortiz was by Mr. Pearson. And that's how it appeared on the Groupon ad, which I believe I gave a copy. His name is still associated with that Groupon as the cosmetic surgeon who performed this procedure. Groupon links that to a description of my profession, which says it's carried out by a skilled cosmetic surgeon. So this is not minor surgery, this is considered major surgery. Again, there's a whole lot of complications that can go wrong, especially without a compression garment. And if there's a blood clot, there can be any number of things that can go wrong. But first let me backtrack on the emails that I sent him. And the fact that I even told him in the email, I contacted the FBI before I sent that email to make sure what I was stating was not extortion. It was not extortion. I have green light on that. It was a settlement offer, which was extremely generous considering the common system of cost to get this fixed. Ms. Negro, I said $7,500, it's going to cost about $20,000 to get this fixed. So that was a generous offer. It was not extortion. Yes, the email was aggressive, but I was very upset at this whole thing. The reason I didn't go back to follow-up is because I don't believe he is certified. I don't think he's qualified to see me as a physician. I wasn't going to investigate that. Nothing I've ever found was stated that a naturopath doctor can perform surgery. Besides the whole misrepresentation problem, there was no way I was going to come back to him. So, do you want me to start with that said? Do you want me to start from my point of view? How this all unraveled?
Sure.
Okay, I approached the group on from Mr. Skyler, his med spa and his gastro. I was supposed to have a consultation with a physician at that time. It was the first time I ever seen it done through text message. But, I'm not accustomed to texting, maybe that's normal now. They had me buy some other packages. Besides the third, so I had three packages to be performed. My initial concern was my left hand, which So the only way to get rid of them is through fire suppression. It seems to be the one area he kind of overlooked during the whole procedure, because they're actually more pronounced now because he's set up with that in other areas, so now they're even more pronounced. So when I got this amazing appointment with Mr. Pearson, I went ahead and bought the extra taxes. Maybe I misunderstand what Pearson said, but I bought the decision to be done in the Scottsdale office. The Scottsdale office looks sanitary, it's very high end, it looks like a place you can feel comfortable, have a procedure done. He's been getting the address for Dr. Ortiz for a very long time, and he's in the general area, he's buying my home, so it was a decent place. But when I got there, I don't even know how it was almost like a run-down, abandoned office complex. His name is nowhere on the directory. I walked around. All these vacant offices, overgrown shrubs, and I found one occupied office, which is his. Went in, there's nobody there. No receptionist, no staff, just an empty office. I didn't realize he was in the back. I thought I was just there by myself. In the bathroom, it was not like Mr. Pearson's office. It was not clean. It was not. It did not resemble a operating room. So I wasn't even sure what kind of life reception I was getting that day. Nobody told me. I never had a great life reception. They never told me what I should take, what I should not take, what to do prior, was I supposed to stop other medications or anything like that. So there was something explained to me that was going to be too medicine. Which is fine, because I wanted invasive liposuction. There's no way to do it, because cold stuff in the family is not going to work. But they never actually went over the risks that they were going to be splashing. You know, I'm not a doctor. I didn't know what liposuction entailed. But it was extremely aggressive. He did cut into me. That's an incision deep, and his hand was quite long. He was very aggressive. Maybe he needed to be, but not getting my medical background, he did not know that I have Crohn's disease, which means you have to be extremely delicate around my abdomen. You cannot be jabbing it. You cannot be poking with a long metal pipes around areas that are infected with Crohn's disease. He's going to rip my colon. Well, he didn't know that because he did not asking my medical background. He didn't ask me anything. And everything about this whole situation has been wrong. Starting from after my first initial consultation, he was supposed to follow up to get my blood work. I waited, he was supposed to call me at 6 o'clock, he never called me. I waited through the weekend, never called me. It comes to the date of my original appointment, no blood work has been taken. So I called Pearson and said, I didn't have Dr. Ortiz's full name or his phone number yet. And he says, oh, I'll contact him and see what's going on. It was too late by then to get blood work done and get the results back. So I offered to give him what he's seen in the file, which is blood work I had done for another procedure 2 weeks before for my colonoscopy exam. He seemed fine with that, and he brought it up again. So he actually would not have gotten any blood work had I not offered it to him. The canceling of the appointment, I don't ever delete my messages, but I never delete anything off my phone. I never got a text from him at 5:30. I never got anything from him. Ever. As far as canceling that appointment, I found out from Mr. Pearson 15 minutes before my procedure that day. And that's why I already called Uber to come pick me up. So if he contacts me, if he texts me and he's got some kind of documentation that has a timestamp on it, I need to know where it went to if it didn't come my phone. But that brings me up to this book. I actually, the reason I can't do that second appointment is because I was having some doubts about his qualifications. The person that I looked up online was not him. There was, a doctor, another doctor, Ortiz, that was actually a medical doctor. Well, once I found out what his middle name was, that eliminated that. So I really didn't know his qualifications at that time. So I can't do that procedure. But talking to Mr. Peterson, I went ahead and decided to go through it. I had canceled these before I put them off. I've been putting this off for 10 years, so I don't want to put it off anymore. So I went and had it done against my better judgment. When I got there, I may be remembering things differently, but I can remember taking my medication while I was in the lobby, and then going into his office where things started. He started examining me, started talking about different items. He mentioned that in person my torso was worse than the photos that he had received in the chat messages during the initial consultation. I didn't, I was waiting for him to watch something in the package, but that wasn't the case. He just was concerned that it was going to be more difficult than originally thought. Pearson finally showed up. I believe I was already on the table by the time he came in. They numbed me, but they did not, excuse me, gravel chart. They did not numb me well enough that I did not feel the incision or the insertion of the cannula, and it felt like ripping flesh. I mean, and he was right, I did not scream out. That's something I was from the misunderstood. I called out, I made voices. I didn't scream, but I didn't make it known that they were hurting me enough that they would inject more anesthesia or whatever it is taking me into the area, which they had to do 3 or 4 times because it was never quite enough. They were extremely aggressive around the scar, but I don't think that is required, except for where it's connected to the Crohn's disease. That's fine, but the fact that he didn't send me home with any kind of follow-up, that bothered me as well. So while we're getting down the list, I'm going down the list in my mind, saying, well, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is just not right. But compression garment, which everybody knows, is a requirement after a plastic session. It's not only just to get the results, but for health reasons. When I didn't get that, and then when I didn't get any response to my questions, that's when I really kind of lost my patience. And I refused to see him anymore. I mean, I don't believe that he is qualified. I don't know that he's actually ever taken any kind of classes. I can't verify that he's taken any classes. The photos that I took for you today of the actress on the disc, my turn around the print color, where she was in color, related to death, and the actress on the disc. It's very difficult for me to look in the mirror at all. I barely saw the gym shut off. I had a problem with the interview report. This is just beyond unacceptable. Because this is supposed to make me feel better about myself, not make me feel much worse. The level of damage, I mean, there's no reason why it's this bad. Even if he had training, he has some training, why does it look like this? But there's just something wrong with this whole scenario. He's been doing this for 10 years. That doesn't... How long has he been certified to be a doctor? how you got certified was not that long ago. Of course, when I contacted the school, his resume says that he got his training when he graduated in 2001, but the school has no record of Jose Ortiz at their school in 2001. They have one in 2007, but I have no way of knowing if that's him or not, but I know there was one in 2001. So I'm starting to doubt that he's even a doctor at all. And a lot of this is, I noticed that Dr. Ortiz was, you know, sticking a lot of this on Pearson, and he definitely has departments to deception, as he did sell me a cosmetic surgeon, not an naturopath. I would not have got the package, I would not have bought the package if I thought it was going to be carried out by a non-doctor. That's just, I wouldn't do that. But there's a lot of different legal problems here.
Have you seen another surgery?
I have. I saw the best reconstructive medicine discussion doctor in Scottsdale, who was curious when he heard my story to look at my torso. I know they never expected him to get angry, but he's curious at the level of incompetence that he saw. And he will not testify now, it's too soon, but by the time we get to trial, he will be ready to his period, his time in the door, whatever he has, will be expired.
Wait, could you repeat what you just said about why he won't testify?
It's too soon. He needs at least 6 months. A lot can happen in 6 months. He wasn't going to put in paper that, you know, the system, this is the way it's going to look.
Your condition may resolve within 6 months.
It's unlikely, but it could, by some miracle, but I mean, it's human nature. That's an indication. That should have all faded away 2 months ago.
So, is there a follow-up you're going to do with the expert physician?
But I think actually we'll have to do the pregnancy.
Okay, so is it safe? 6 months from the date of the procedure, 6 months from your visit?
Yeah, part of the procedure.
Which is in about 2.5 months. About 3.5. And, okay.
So, he was actually amazed by the lack of consent. That's not done. I just had LASIK done last week, and their consent form was probably 15 pages long, and it's just a 5-minute laser surgery. He cut into my body, ingested a foreign object in my body, no consent form, no warning, no anything. That's just unheard of. And discussing post-op care with somebody that's been given Vicodin or whatever it was, a muscle or like a Valium type anxiety pill. That's not good enough. I don't know what I remember, what I don't remember. I mean, I'm sedated. That's not a good time to tell somebody and give them the rest.
How did you feel that Mr. Pearson is represented to Dr. Richard's life?
Afterwards. When I didn't get the compression garment, that was the tipping scale where I started to dig deeper. That's when I realized that this is not the person my body was.
You stated earlier that the Groupon said that it would be performed by a surgeon.
I have
a Groupon. The Groupon right here, it says the name of the physician right on the Groupon.
Yeah, at that, and he specializes in cosmetic surgery.
Can I read it real quick for everybody? It says here, who performs the procedure? Colon. Dr. Jose Ortiz graduated from National College of Medicine in 2001. He specializes in naturopathy as well as pain and cosmetic medicine.
And there is a link I didn't find a lot that describes the procedure and the surgeon that does it. Well, to me, that meant the surgeon was going to do the procedure. I mean, why tell me why I went to it if that's who's supposed to carry the child?
Do we have
it on? What?
So
then
the
agency
that
you
do have that?
I didn't print it, but
I thought
you
can
look at it online.
You try to link
it
to what?
To on LinkedIn, you can see a link about know more about the procedure, and it will give you another page describing the procedure, who does it, how they do it, that kind of thing.
And that link was on what website? Do you remember?
LinkedIn. Or not LinkedIn, or Groupon.
But Groupon had the link for additional information, which took you to the website.
Just additional information.
I think it's just another page on the question.
I don't
from the data. My thoughts are that the wrinkling and the setting skin would have been prevented had I been given a real compression garment. I paid for it, I bought it. Why wasn't it? After I contacted them, Casper, I have not heard from them since, except for when I wanted to get my Casper's, which he would not send to me. I had to go, actually did it with his mom.
How long did you use the 8th inch?
I wore that for forever, a week, waiting for that compression garment. Then I kind of bought my own, but I don't think it was my medical grade compression garment.
Do you have any idea what the price is to if it has to be corrected? Do you have an estimate? Did you have to wait until they see you in 3 months?
Well, he said it would be roughly $20,000 unless, you know, there's all these other contingencies. If he has to do graft transfer, that's additional charge. If skin actually has to be removed, that's all he could. That's going to be an extraordinary amount of money. But if he wouldn't quote anything until 6 months, then...
Are you considering filing criminal charges?
You've already filed a lawsuit. I don't know about criminal charges.
You filed a lawsuit other than this because I made a lawsuit then.
Can you stop contact with her?
Oh, yeah. I'm in contact with him to get my contact.
Because I read your email that you sent there, but you stopped emailing her.
Yes.
Board members, any more questions?
Thank you,
Doc. Have you sat down with Mr. Ortiz, his attorney? Have you tried to come up with any resolution to this?
No, he doesn't respond.
Okay. Do you feel there's any other positive resolution you can come up with? Besides what the emails have been sent, but do you come up to the resolution where you would feel better about this? I understand where your issues, your multiple issues can happen, but do you have any resolution that would be easy to obtain with Dr. Ortiz and the attorney?
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, we haven't even discussed that part yet. Okay. I'm also concerned with getting this fixed and that he stops performing liposuction on people if he's not qualified. Especially now that I noticed that he's doing a bad Brazilian butt lifts and what that brought not to bear group on the package. It has the highest fatality rate of all cosmetic surgeons and has to be performed by a professional. It cannot be performed by somebody that that way. They will die. So can you tell me if it's a natural passing process to do this kind of surgery? Because I've not seen set up otherwise.
Where have you seen that?
Every website I've ever looked at. Every regulation I've ever read. What do you got to consider minor and what do you consider major surgery?
I think you'll hear that in our discussion. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Ortiz, can you come on back up?
Okay. He provided that at the initial consultation. We were aware of the fact that he had had blood work 2 weeks previously, which is why I did not want him on blood work. I saw blood work, and it was far more extensive than any blood work that we do. Many practitioners do know blood work for this procedure because it is, in fact, a minor surgical procedure. We don't do blood work if we're stitching. We don't do blood work if we remove a melanoma. I'm glad to do this as an extra protection. So it just goes down to the CDC and attention, just looking to make sure the patient isn't coming in with an HIV infection, that their blood, their platelet count is up, that they can, they don't have any issues with their kidneys or liver, so that they can actually process out, so that they can actually process out the somatic solution, which has amount of lidocaine present, which is based on milligrams per kilogram protein. And so that's why we didn't order any additional studies.
So you already had an interview session?
I already had.
Okay.
I have dates for that as well. It's in the transcript with the email, camera, email, or text message that sent me from Mr. Scott.
Okay.
Good. Long prior to the initial date of the procedure. And again, it's not a requirement nor a standard of care that you ask.
Okay, that would be my question. You didn't have it for some reason, had it ordered, maybe you proceeded.
I personally would not have it, but I didn't have it. And I do that as extra protection for the patient. This is an elective cosmetic procedure that a patient chooses to have, so it's not necessary to take any risk whatsoever. If there's any risk involved with anything that looks like it's a risk, we either wait for a resolution or we refer to a plastic surgeon's office.
And when you met on the day of the procedure and had you call it a consultation just prior to the procedure, what kind of medical position did you take?
So I just reviewed the history that we already had. So he had filled out an intake form that you have in your possession, which is often considered part of the exam. A typical pre-op exam is vital signs, heart and lungs, and visual. And we do make sure that we ask him about pre-surgery. So I was aware of the patient had Crohn's disease. For the physician members on this board, you are all aware of that. The colon is the role of muscle, so we were not doing anything that would irritate the colon in any way whatsoever.
You were aware of the Crohn's disease and the type of procedure was?
There was no contraindication for that whatsoever.
Have you sought resolution with BP?
So I did you read through the emails? I asked him to come into the office. I wasn't going to try to resolve that via emails. He refused to ever come in. I then received a letter of demand from an attorney. And then I recently was served with a subpoena, and
just received that. They shouldn't know where I see that. We move this October 1st.
Did you see his latest photos?
No, not only have I not seen his latest photos, I have had no communication with any physician that I've seen, which again is not customary. If he has done any follow-up, then as any physician in the room would know, they would have requested records directly from me, so I have a conversation with him as to what I did, what I performed. As far as whatever the results are, I can't speak to that because I don't know what he has done to himself post-treatment, who he seen, when he waited to be seen. By his own admission, he claims that he felt confused about the procedure or uncomfortable. He didn't immediately seek out any care. I offered care again and again in the emails. I offered care. He refused care. To my knowledge, I don't know if he's provided proof to the board that he's actually seen a physician, provided any medical records other than these photos. I don't know who took the photos. I'm not aware of the angles, and this is the first time that I'm even seeing these photos. With regard to the skin compression, the compression garment does not affect the level of skin tightening. Having a compression garment is there to reduce the amount of swelling in the procedure. If you don't use one, the situation will resolve. It just takes time. Again, I have had this procedure performed myself, so I am also aware that once we remove that fatty tissue, there's going to be some laxity in the skin, and that's just a normal procedure. It will take some time to get some tightening, and it's often necessary to have some other procedures to tighten the skin. With regard to cutting of the skin or removal of skin, that is not, I don't know, is it ever part of a liposuction procedure. It would come up a completely different follow-up type of procedure, so it's not related to that. If for some reason you have acid in your skin, that would have to be corrected. That would be with any liposuction procedure.
And you obviously have malpractice insurance.
I do.
And that's underwritten through your malpractice.
It is.
Okay.
And they will be providing someone to represent me, so they are aware that I do the procedure and that is a minor surgical
procedure.
Okay. So in your experience, with this type of liposuction, how long does it take for a patient to heal up?
So, as you know, it's medicine and it's a practice. These patients are going to be a little bit different. It's normally 4 to 6 weeks for the initial portion of the swelling to resolve. And it can take, you continue to see results for up to a year. So you'll see reformation of the body for up to a year. Had the patient coming in, he would have been instructed to have a massage. I often perform the massage myself. I have someone in the office that will do massage. With regards to the compression garment, he himself said that he was aware that he needed a garment, but apparently he didn't. That I should reach out, come in and get the garment, or go someplace else and get the garment. He was free to do that at that time. He apparently was so nice. If it was such an issue, he would have come to the office and would provide his garment.
So, did anyone wish to order that you thought
would
work better for him than the one that you have the day of the procedure?
You know, and apparently there was an issue. We ordered it, but they never shipped it. And then he didn't come in. So we just held off on it because he refused to come in. I did offer to speak in, I'm actually speaking at right here at the time. I offered for him to come in so that I could examine him and see what he needed to be done. And in fact, it was to ship to his home because I was going on vacation. It didn't get shipped to his home. I wasn't aware of that because I didn't have home service. It was my understanding he already had the garment. It wasn't until he emailed me with the threat that I was aware that he had received the garment. At that time, I asked him to come
into the office immediately and provided a garment, right?
How many people are there in the garment?
So it is typically you have patients wear the garments 24 hours a day for the first 2 weeks and then just during the day for the next 2 weeks. And then it's imperative that they get out of the garment at that point to not impair circulation and allow for a remodeling of the tissue.
When do you have the procedure to stand an assistant with you, or just you by yourself?
So there is an assistant shop person to a med tech, but that person does not need to be a medical technician. They're just really in the room to keep the patient calm, and they certainly, I am sterile. Although the procedure has been done as a clean procedure, and that is also accepted, so you don't actually run a sterile brain surgery. So everything is sterilized, everything is new out of packages, and I am completely sterile. Gown, everything.
So you work out in a sterile field?
I work out a completely sterile field. May I speak on something else?
Yes, please.
Let me just point out that I wasn't aware of the ad, if not was by that ad, that ad was tweeted by Mr. Wilson. But it's clear in the ad that I'm not a surgeon. It says cosmetic medicine. And I have, once that ad came to my attention, I immediately had Mr. Pearson remove that because I know very well I'm not a specialist at all. I asked him to remove that. But the ad did state that I was a naturopathic physician. It said that I went to naturopathic college. It said that I was a cosmetic, I was specified in cosmetic medicine. I was not a surgeon. There's no statute that says you have to be a cosmetic surgeon. In fact, they would like to be board certified, but there is no statute that says you have to be board certified to perform this procedure. I have to provide a list of names of local doctors that I have personally trained that are not cosmetic surgeons, nor are they plastic surgeons. Many of them, emergency room physicians, primary care doctors, thoracic surgeons, general surgeons.
Ms. Gallen, are you still with us?
Yes.
Did you have any questions? Thank you.
I'm going to invite you to make one more comment to the board, please, if you have any. With regard to any type of corrective surgery, I don't know where the number 20,000 comes from. The most expensive surgery, which would include a tummy tuck, would be something about $10,000. Typical liposuction procedures, which amounts to what ET had done, running anywhere from $4,000 to $6,500. He came in fully knowing that he was getting a discount of the procedure. That's why he searched us out on Groupon. And the day of the procedure, when I realized that it was going to be a lot more, and I did discuss with him that and that offered and did go ahead and do additional areas at no cost. So again, whatever the original consent, we had oral consent. I have spoken with him, and during the procedure, I have spoken with him as far as undermining the scar and there being pain. He noted that he was injected. The only thing that he was injected with was a half inch 30 gauge needle, which I used to inject right in at the local site and then make my initial incision. The cannula was a blunt cannula. There are two millimeter cannula to administer the tenecin procedure, and I believe we used those 3.5 millimeter cannula to extract the fat in different areas. As far as adding, we weren't adding solution. We were finessing the area that we were going to extract fat from. When he drew the pain over the scar area, I did administer a little bit more lidocaine to that area so that he would be comfortable. And again, we used the blunt candy
Let me have you last time grab a seat in the back. BT, I'm going to give you about 5 minutes to wrap it up. About 3 to 5 minutes. Did you need to speak before you then?
It's just that the version of his interpretations are different than my version. I don't remember any discussion about additional free session wherever they perform, because they're not, you know, it's not obvious on my body where they were performed. And that's the problem. If I understand a consent form logs under medication, what makes him think that it'd be okay to discuss other procedures with one under medication? I mean, there's a lot of conflicting information here. I mean, there was no way that he could have had my blood work at my initial consultation. That's when he told me there was going to be a blood test, was at the end of my initial consultation. He didn't have those records. He didn't have those records until the day before my original procedure, because that's when I sent them to him. I have documented everything. I mean, I don't erase an email. I don't erase a text. I record all my phone calls. So there's a lot of difference of opinion about the events that happened. And I'm still not convinced that, you know, like he's insisting that, you know, my surgery, that everything that I seen said otherwise.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having a seat. And I'm going to ask the board in 205 to be going to one last executive session.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
You can grab your belongings. Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy day.